This is the Bread Women Project, and I'm Pamela Johnston. Ever heard of a business model that relies on recruiting people with no experience? Not only does it exist, but it's doing really well. We'll hear the story. But first, let me tell you about the Bread Women Project. The podcast features women sharing honest stories about their relationships, careers, and personal growth. Many of these experiences led them to a transitional moment, which in turn led these women to living their lives differently. In addition to highlighting confessions of highly successful women, this network will soon offer services to help women who are at a crossroads. The network will also help them take the first step in the direction of their new life. Today we'll be talking to a woman who took a business risk while pursuing a new direction in her life, and it has paid off. Penny Simmons is a 58-year-old breadwinner who is the founder and president of Penny Loafers Shoe Shine Company. Thanks for joining me today, Penny.
Oh, thank you for asking me, Pamela.
Great. I know that starting a shoe shine business wasn't always your plan. First, what made you start your own company?
Well, that is a pretty long story in itself, but we can touch on a few points. Oh, for one, from the ages of 16 to almost 38, I'd had about 30 jobs, so having left home and school at 16. And, gosh, they varied from telemarketer, I try to be patient with those who call me, to secretary, stockbroker, mortgage broker, and working in catering, for example.
Right.
And then by the time I hit 37, actually, I just thought, what am I going to do? I just kept going from job to job to job, very committed and so on, but not sticking with things. And I later found out, by the way, in the last couple of years, I was ADHD. So that explains some of that now, finally.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, that magic number of 40 was approaching, and there was no one in my life, so there was no financial support elsewhere. I just kept rotating jobs, be it a few months or even sometimes a couple of years. So I took it upon myself to go to career counseling. And at the end of that, so it was about a 6-8 week period, they said, well, you should start your own business. And I thought, but what? And anyway, gosh, there are just, again, so many facets of this story, but at that point, I opened up my mind, my head, my heart, my soul, whatever there was, to think of what I could possibly do. And having tried so many different businesses or gone down so many different roads, I had a collection of experiences, but just nothing that really hit the mark for me. Other than I knew from the career counseling, for example, I needed to work with people. Type of people? In my case, it was business executives. That's how I was raised. And physically, where do you want to be? Any number of questions that had to be asked. So it came down to I was on a midweek sabbatical. It was March of 93 with some gal pals. And I was just stumped. I had nowhere to turn. But on that trip, I was actively just getting out, exercising, doing anything, reading books. But several months earlier, I had gone to a trade show on behalf of a friend of mine who'd been unable to attend the show herself down in the States. And at that particular show, there was another exhibitor nearby from the Ontario contingent, I will say, and he came by, and we chatted, got to know each other a bit, and realizing it wasn't my business I was representing, he said, what do you do? And I said, well, nothing really. I'm trying to find something of my own. And later that day, he came back so excited to the booth. He said, I was just at the booth for AT&T Capital. They had a shoe shine there, complimentary shoe shine, and there were girls doing it, and they did it with their bare hands. I said, well, that's nice. He said, there's a business you can do.
Oh, my God.
I said, if you'll excuse me for putting it this way, I said, what were you smoking in the men's room? And I started to go on. Well, I couldn't possibly shine shoes. I had at one point, by the way, done international marketing. So I'd been in consulates, for example, I told him, and I've been a stockbroker, this and that, and how dare you. So going back to that midweek sabbatical, which was, 8 months later, coming back from that, I was just in this zone, this thought zone. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And, of course, we were coming back to Toronto when, for some unknown reason, the shoe shine popped in my mind. And in my mind's eye, within, I'm sure, seconds, I was zooming through the underground path in Toronto, and I didn't see in my mind's eye any shoe shines. And I blurted out to one of my gal pals who was driving, said, "I'm going to start a chain of shoe shines." And
cool.
She said, "That's nice."
Wow. So what was it like? Where did you open your first location? And
well, that building, unfortunately, was taken away from me in favor of a barber shop. Nonetheless, I currently have my Toronto Dominion bank location down in the underground. And
wow.
That I opened in 1996.
Uh-huh.
In 1997, I opened in First Canadian Place. And in 1998, I opened in the Fairmont Royal York Hotel. And that happens to be the address of the oldest shoe shine parlor in the country.
Wow.
And I am the
Those are some impressive locations.
Yes. And I'm the third proprietor of the latter since 1929.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
History.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So I know you did a lot of work in drumming up business in the beginning of this operation of yours. Can you tell me more about that?
Well, back then there was no email. And I needed to get in touch with all the different landlords in the city. And I was also trying to work at a job just to bring money in while I wanted to get my business off the ground. Nonetheless, I would send letters, mail letters to the different landlords. Occasionally, I would go to a nearby business and pay $5 a page to send fax. No one was getting back to me. Then I came up with packages. I got some gold lame bags, and I put licorice shoelaces in them, and then my little proposal and a picture of the chair that I planned to have made, and hand delivered those.
Wow.
Nothing.
Uh-huh.
And so I continued, and there came to a day where I was knocked down by one landlord, and I started to cry, and I got up the next morning and I thought, I'm going to make one more phone call. And I did. And again, my stories can be long, so I won't tell you all about that. But I finally got my first opportunity. The first building, unfortunately, I'm not there. A barbershop came into the building and wanted shoe shine, so we had to leave. But I did open, so that opened in September 1995, 1 year it took, rejection.
Wow.
And
yeah.
Then my next location I opened 1996 at the Toronto Dominion Center in the past.
Right.
And then 1997, First Canadian Place in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And 1998 at the Fairmont Royal York Hotel, which was a CP hotel at the time, if you remember.
Right.
And that, so we still have these three. I have tried others. But the Royal York has some interesting history. I'm the third proprietor since 1929. And it is the address of the oldest shoe shine parlor in the country. And I'm very proud
cool.
that we've got it. Yes.
Yeah, that's neat. Very neat. You're listening to the Bread Women Project podcast. I'm Pamela Johnston, and I'm speaking with Penny Simmons. She has made headlines with the way she recruits her staff. She'll explain her unique business model, but starting a small business can be tough, Penny. Were there any obstacles?
Oh. Well, always. And
yes.
As I touched on earlier, it was only in the last 2 years that I was diagnosed ADHD. And
right.
There are a lot of things that go along with that. Agoraphobia, which I didn't realize. OCD, which was actually very beneficial in my business.
Yeah.
But the ADD or ADHD accounts for why the multitude of jobs that I'd had in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But without realizing it, it was the shoeshine business was perfect given my condition, because I lose focus. So,
right.
I think I took my drugs today, by the way, but just get me back on track if you need help.
Yep.
Nonetheless, my conversations with people were 5 to 7 minutes. Physical activity, which is also great. So it couldn't be, it couldn't have been better.
Yeah.
And the doctors have also said that it was a miracle that I managed to create a successful business given those obstacles.
Wow.
And I would have to leave notes on my door in the morning saying, remember my towels, remember your lunch.
Right. Yeah.
I just did what I, whatever I had to. I recognized my shortcomings.
Awesome. I mean, that's really incredible. Good for you. And with regard to the ins and outs of running a company, where did you get your inspiration from?
I was blessed from a very early age. At the age of 3 and a half, my father started a business out of our house, and a worldwide name, by the way, but he had bought the distribution rights for all of North America for these products. So I grew up with it, and I was asked at one of the colleges to give a talk to the entrepreneurial class, and their conversation was, is it nature or nurture? Well, I'd say, is it nature, nurture, or necessity? Fortunately, I had the nature and nurture growing up.
Great.
And I learned again from my father, he made customer service a priority, and it was something I dwelled on in any job that I had. The customer comes first, the customer is always right. And then about the time I'd started my business, he told me that when he started his company, he said, I wanted to make it a place where people wanted to work.
Ah.
And I know that has come up in more recent years, I'll say, but this was back in 1994. And now I don't need to be placing want ads, or it's very rare, because the people who work with me now, I think they're, 17 at current headcount, they've referred one another into the business, so there must be something I'm doing right, and the average stay is about 3 to 4 years, if not more.
Wow,
and
that is awesome.
Two of my gals have been with me 10 years plus.
Wow.
So they, maybe I'm doing something right, because I have to make sure that they're happy, and
right.
I figure if my staff are happy, the customers are happy, my landlords are happy, then I'm happy and everybody's happy.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm Pamela Johnston, and Penny Simmons joins me on this episode of the Bread Women Podcast. Right now, she's going to tell us about her unique way of recruiting people to work at her shoe shining company. So tell me about that, Penny.
Okay. Well, I know we've touched on a few points, but it came down to the fact that when I was starting, of course, I had no money, nothing. I scraped up everything
right.
I could to build the first shoe shine chair. Nonetheless, when it came down to having been in business probably about a good 6-7 months, I knew I was going to be expanded and had been actually asked into the Royal York Hotel, but for down the road. So I thought, well, how do I recruit? And I knew I wanted a certain type of person. So I sat down, and it took me weeks to write a want ad, and I ultimately described someone like me,
mm-hmm.
and figured out, where do I put this up? Well, none of the schools responded. I did try a women's employment center. Nonetheless, my target, though, was someone like me, not just in terms of the personality, et cetera, you know, upbeat, smiling, gracious, good customer service, but I thought there must be other women like me who they want to start something or pursue a career path, but they have to work. They've got to keep money coming in doing something else. Because when I was trying to get this up and running and prospect those landlords, I was working at a very menial job, and nothing is too menial, pardon me, low-paying job, let's say, 8 to 4, Monday to Friday. So I had lunch hours and evenings and weekends to prospect. Well, that's not when you're going to reach the people you want.
Right.
And it took a lot to be able to then just finally launch and pray to God that the money was going to follow. So I thought, there must be other women out there. So I decided I would create a business model whereby someone fitting the profile, they've got other ambitions in life, maybe they're in transition, that they get paid well above minimum wage, which is what I had been earning when I was trying to get this off the ground.
Right.
So they only have to work maybe, at that time, I'll say 3 to 4 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can take the remainder of the week to then try and focus on what they wanted to do or get something launched or just even contemplate life, but still have some
right.
money coming in. There were so many times through the years, I just wanted to be able to stop and think, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
I just always lived
yeah,
that paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
So I pretty much wanted to take lemons and turn them into lemonade. And now that's what's happened. So it is now, it's a part of the, well, it's mandatory that you must have other ambitions in life in order to come and work with me.
Cool.
Yes.
That's unique in and of itself.
Yes.
And great idea. So what kind of people, I mean, you know, what sort of people do you find have been attracted to this position?
Well,
is there a type that you find consistently is coming your way?
Well, I've had a lot of actresses. Sometimes it goes from actor to say actress. And, oh, by the way, I specifically put on my want ad, no experience wanted. Because
right.
I wanted to train people the way I wanted it to be.
Right, right.
And not have someone trying to come in and tell me how to do it. So the women I've had, oh, gosh, we've had massage therapists, artists who've then gone on to sell some of their paintings to my customers or done commissions or sold their prints.
Yeah.
Writers, as in writers for theater. Two gals met through the shoeshine, co-wrote a play that went on to become one of the top in the Fringe Festival.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and they met through the shoeshine. We've had it, and then four of them ended up working on the same play, and they all met through the shoeshine.
Uh-huh.
So,
wow.
Incredible friendship. So, by also recruiting based on more personality, the friendships that I have seen develop have been amazing. Lifelong friendships now. And going back, a lot of actresses. One of my gals has just cut her first CD. Another
Neat.
Is on one of our male people who is not with us currently, but he and his wife worked with us. I think he's just done his third CD. And they've moved on. Some have been in movies or they're regulars in television
right.
shows.
Neat.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, okay, we're going to have to wind this up, but I do have one last question for you, which is what advice would you have for someone starting a new career or a small business?
Well, I think one of the toughest ones for many people to come to grips with is listen to your instincts.
Mm-hmm.
I believe if a thought comes to you, there's a reason, and that you can do it. I mean, for out of the blue, driving along, when I'd forgotten about this shoe shine, I'd throw it in the garbage, actually, the business card I was given, for me to just suddenly think, shoe shining? Why would it come to me? I had to pursue that.
Mm-hmm.
And you do have to believe in yourself. There were many, again, who laughed, pointed, whispered at me, but I thought, no, and I know I can do this. And the other thing, too, I mean, going back to the man at the trade show, and he said, here's a business you can do. Right. Never say never.
Right.
That is huge. That is huge. And again, keep the naysayers at a distance. They're not going to bring you any benefit. Someone that might bring up something that's negative for you to consider as a what-if scenario. But don't dwell on it, because these people don't have the same vision that you have. And if they don't understand it, so be it.
Right.
They don't have to understand it.
Right.
So you don't have to try and convince them either. Don't waste time on that one. And just keep the positive people, the supportive people around you.
Mm-hmm. Great. I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story, Penny. This is one of many inspiring stories that you'll hear on the Bread Women podcasts. And I'm Pamela Johnston. Thank you for listening.